Atlanta Tennis Podcast. Every episode is titled It Starts With Tennis and Goes From There. We talk with coaches, club managers, industry business professionals, technology experts, and anyone else we find interesting. We want to have a conversation as long as it starts with tennis.
Hey, hey, this is Sean with the Atlanta Tennis Podcast, powered by GoTennis. While you're here, please hit that follow button. And after you listen, please share with your friends and teammates. Also, let us know if you have questions or topics you would like us to discuss, and we will add them to our schedule. With that said, let's get started with 10 Minutes of Tennis.
All right, we're live. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
We're on Puerto Rican time this morning, 10 a.m. Yeah, baby. That's what it's all about.
If you're watching live, we are on island time. It is 10 minutes of tennis at 10:02 today.
Yeah, and I quickly jumped in to introduce Sean. So there we go. The world-renowned ankle biter.
Oh, nice. That's right. Sean, I am. Justin, you are. And we were going to talk about the concept of time. You actually called it the game of time.
Yep.
Curious if you chose that phrase specifically, or you're just referring to tennis. So, Justin, what are we talking about?
We're talking about every element. The whole game is built around time. Time between points, time between shots, time between match, time between change of ends. I mean, everything's based around time. Even nowadays, if we're really conscious of watching the TV, they're showing the time clock now between when the guy gets the serve and when he gets his violation. So everything is based on time right now. And if we're going to start talking about time, I want to probably help those that are amateurs that would like to learn the sport more, and those that are juniors that would like to be outstanding players. This subject is a big one for me on the performance side of understanding how you can be better in the game. If you look at the players and where the game has gone, I'm at a very big advantage because I grew up with the chip and charge, get to the net, shorten the game, shorten the point, get in there as fast as you can and destroy your opponent on the net. As an Aussie, it's all we know. It's probably one of our best specialties. And if we've watched the sport in the last 5-10 years, at least the last 5 years, everybody's getting to net. Rafael Nadal's numbers were off the charts in the last 5 years, and everybody wasn't watching. And they were all eventually saying, oh my God, look how many points he's won at the net. And even in the French, he came to the net more than ever. And the reason why is because it shortened his time on the court. And if he shortened his time on the court, he didn't get injured. He didn't have to work so hard. He didn't actually have to quit the sport. He could keep playing. And so as you get older, sorry to say it, guys, over 40, we've got to shorten the point. You got to be able to get in. You got to be able to create something quicker. Which sort of backs into what we've been talking about over the weeks is understanding the three dimensions, understanding tactical awareness, not just sitting down the baseline grinding like we had to. We just can't do that anymore if you're over 40. If you look at the IBM stats that Craig Shaughnessy has promoted over and over from IBM, 0 to 4. 0 to 4 shots is what the game is about. 0 to 4, not 40. 50, 60 ball rallies. It's 0 to 4 shots is what the game is built around. So what are we talking about? Time, right? You're pressed for time because you've got to try to make some shots and get structured quickly. You've got to get time to be able to get to the net quickly, shut it off. And then the big one I can give everybody on time that nobody seems to talk about, and I still would love to up John McEnroe to talk about it for me, because nobody talks about the time between racket to racket. Racket to racket is everything. Grab your cell phone. Grab your cell phone. Unlock it. Go to the stopwatch. You see mine, right? Start the point. every time they hit a shot, hit the lap button. Right? As a kid, as an adult, whatever. Start looking at it. Pause at the end of the point. See how long it was, 11 seconds. But every single time they hit a ball, you'll see 0.8, 0.9, 1.2. You'll start to see patterns as well. If Raf is playing, it's usually 1.2, 1.3, 1.4 seconds because he puts so much loop on the ball before the guy hits it. If it was Roger up the other end, he gave him 0.9 seconds on the next shot, right? And if you start to identify the players, you'll start to identify how much time they're trying to shut down against the opponent. And Djokovic, loop, soft, then he steps in, neutral stance, flattens the ball out, gives him 0.8 seconds. Then he gives him 0.8 seconds again. Now it's hard for him to get to each ball, and the ball's now becoming 20% less. Boom, and he comes and pounds it. So time for me, as you can hear, I could talk about the next 50 minutes about time, but I've got 10 minutes at Tuesday at 10 o'clock. So it's all I've got to be able to talk about time. Sean, you want to add anything there?
Well, I'm curious, as the typical player, because we can have the examples. You say coming to the net is good. I love the thought that 0 to 4 is important. It makes me think of that Peter Thiel book, The 0 to 1. Which is, you know, creating a company, creating something from nothing. And in this case, being able to create a winning pattern. We go back to a recent conversation we had about patterns. Create a winning pattern, but 0 to 4 is where we start. And with the young players, we talk about a pattern of saying, okay, I want you to serve and return. Call that your first pattern. Yep. Right? Serve, return, then next ball. Get it in. So if we talk about trying to take time away or using time to our advantage, with the amateur player especially, I mean, we talk about Sinner, who's never been to the net in his life and probably why he's not going to make a final. We can talk about the professional guys all day long and give examples. The question is, as an amateur player, if I'm a 3-5 player playing league, whether it's singles, doubles, whatever it is, doubles we usually know to come forward because taking time away and cutting off the middle and those kinds of things we typically understand. But from a junior perspective as well, which is what I spend a lot of my time on, being able to get the kids just to understand the ball's coming back, you've got to get ready. However long in a junior match, whether that's 2.5, 3 seconds you might have after your serve that the ball's coming back, you just got to get ready. And you've got to be thinking about that immediately after you hit the ball.
Yep. So you've got a couple of things that you can bring up real quick. Foot speed. Physicality. If you're not that athletic, you don't feel that fast. Sometimes it might be perception of not reading the other player's racket. I spend a lot of lessons at the lower level and the highest level. I've seen players in top 100, top 200 struggle because they're like, oh, my timing's a little off. I'm like, mate, look at the player's racket. You know, they think instinctively they're already doing it. And sometimes you're out just watching the ball. But by watching the ball, you're missing out on those milliseconds that get to the feet, that make you decide early, that make you see something quicker. And there's all that processing time. Again, the word time. Processing time. If you're waiting for the ball to come over the net, too late. I mean, you by the time the ball gets to you, you've got to make a decision, get your feet in position, hit the target, and recover. And you can't do all that if the ball's just like, and then the decision is coming. It's like, oh, I can see all my shots, but oh my God, ball's already hit. So time is everything in this game. And as you can see, it's a big, detailed conversation that takes a lot to cover in 10 minutes. But probably the other one I wanted to let everyone really understand too is we've heard a lot of conversation about when you're rallying, you should hit plenty of clearance over the net and low over the net. And clearance over the net obviously would give your opponent more time. But what you can do is use clearance over the net to take away time and use the court to then take away time on the next one. So just understand there are ways of taking away time without losing your ratio over the net. And the other one I wanted to let everybody know too is that it was a really good one. Oh, Vic Braden, the legend of all legends. And if there's coaches listening right now, if they don't know that guy, they need a clock on the chin because that guy is a legend. And what he proved back in geez, like in the 2000s, he proved with a recording device on his eyes and his face and everything that the time from baseline to service line, we couldn't keep up with the pace of the ball that's being hit between the strings and the power of the racket. So the reason why we lost the coming to the net game is because we couldn't get there fast enough. And so between racket to racket, to get from baseline to service line, I mean, you know, the Sampras days, the Pat Cash days, hitting a low volley, the amount of spin, the amount of time, it just was too tough. So what we're seeing is a transition in the last 5 years is people are getting faster. They're learning to rally with height over the net and then take away height over the net and then find their pounce. Right? They're waiting two or three shots to go in. They're setting it up to go in two or three versus hitting and go. And Djokovic, absolute legend about it. So is Nadal. But I think Djokovic has really figured out, I call it the opportunity world. It's just inside the baseline. And he will work it, move a little closer, flatten out the next one. And then he moves back a little, which gives the opponent the impression that he's not coming in. And then he pounces and off he goes. So it's, anyway, I don't know. Hopefully that helps. But Vic Braden proved that we didn't have the time to get in quick enough. Oh, the last one real quick. If you don't have much time, you don't have much foot speed, and you're trying to figure out how to take away time, then look for the opportunities when your opponent's not hurting you and just find your way in. Hit a volley halfway in the middle of the court. They say it's no man's land. It's not no man's land if you can do something with it. You know, and if you watch the days where we grew up in the 90s, 80s and 90s, we were hitting low volleys inside the service line.
We should call it Nick Kyrgios land.
Nick Kyrgios, you can call it whatever you want. I mean, these days too, people can hit a swinging forehand or a swinging backhand. We didn't do that back in those days. We hit a volley. So, like, I don't know. I think if you feel like you're restricted because of physicality, you're not restricted. All you've got to do is literally see your opportunities, come in, take away time, and then go a little further. So just be like, you brought up a good point. Be split step. Be ready. Don't feel like you've got to run all the way to the net. Just run, split step. When the person's ready, take away time. Come in a little further, you know. So anyway, there's my thing on time, and you can tell I could talk about it forever.
I love it. We'll do it again. We'll do a follow-up. Justin Yeo, Australian in Puerto Rico. Thanks so much.
Cheers, everyone.
Well, there you have it. We want to thank Rejuvenate.com for use of the studio. And be sure to hit that follow button. For more tennis-related content, you can go to AtlantaTennisPodcast.com. And while you're there, check out our calendar of tennis events, the best deals on Technifiber products, tennis apparel, and more. If you're a coach, director of any racket sports, or just someone who wants to utilize our online shop, contact us about setting up your own shop collection to offer your branded merchandise to the Atlanta tennis world. And with that, we're out. See you next time.